Welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes the dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Paul Androlonis, and I'm joined in the studio by Jesse Fiers. And today we'll be taking on a specific topic, but a broad topic, discussing theantric action, which is a term that was coined by Pastor Carl Stevens long ago. And we're going to kind of introduce the topic and try to talk about some examples and think about the importance of this idea of theantric action. So I think maybe just to start it out, Pastor Stevens wrote a book on this topic years ago, and I'm just going to read maybe the first paragraph of the introduction just to kind of introduce the definition of theantric action. And it says, "Since the inception of the church, Christians have struggled with the dilemma of representing the infinite God to finite mankind through vessels of clay. The process of theantric action is the only provision whereby Christians are able to manifest the true nature of God in their mortal bodies within the body of Christ into a lost and dying world. The word theantric comes from two Greek words, theos, God, and anthropos, man. Theantric action is the fullness to overflowing of God's divine nature in the human vessel, which is surrendered to the plan of God." So this idea of theantric action, Jesse, I think it's one that it's a process that happens as we are growing as believers. We accept Christ in our lives. We accept God's provision and his salvation in our lives, and we see the effects of that in our lives as we are trusting in him and as we are following in him. What are your thoughts that, with theantric action?
Yeah. I mean, you hit four words I've picked up just from you reading that. First one was struggled. Like, we struggle to understand this, I think that's a great thought to have. I'm going to struggle with wrapping my mind around it because why? Because it's from things above.
Yeah.
And like, we can't fully understand it. And so there will be a struggle there. And then the second word was the process. It's going to be a process to fully really know and how to walk in theantric action. And then there's the manifestation. And then the last one was surrender. You surrender to the plan of God. And so it's really, in simple terms, it's God's nature taking over human nature without the influence of the old sin nature. Three natures. And so how is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, how is it able to manifest work in my life as a son of God, as a child of God, as a believer, as a Christian? How am I able to now have action, is it able to reveal itself, and how does God use us?
Yeah, and I think it's definitely something that takes time. It takes us recognizing the importance of God in our lives. Like, when we accept Christ into our lives, when we realize we are not enough and God is everything that I need, like, my life now has a different purpose. My life has a different path. My life is no longer me-centered, but it's God-centered. And that process of removing myself from the middle and putting God in the middle, like, how does that happen? How am I recognizing that, okay, it used to be all about me and what I wanted and where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And now I'm thinking in a different way of, okay, what does God want me to do, and where does God want me to go, and how do I navigate or balance navigate that process of recognizing, God, you are all and in all, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, and I am following in the steps that you've put before me, the path you've laid before me. And I was thinking of Colossians 2, it's verses 6 and 7, says, "As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And thinking about, like, I know Christ, I'm learning who God is, and as I'm learning who God is, I am learning more about who I am, right? I am they're kind of connected with one another, right? My knowledge of God, it dictates my knowledge of myself, really. Like, maybe we think before, you know, in our natural human experience, we think we know who we are. We think we know about ourselves, like what is what we like, what we dislike, what's important, what's not important. But then when we recognize that God is the most important thing in the world, in our lives, we recognize how much I know him. When I recognize and draw closer to him and knowledge of him, I learn more about myself in a different way, outside of just my human experience and what I've gone through. I can grow and become more of the person I was made to be. Like, God created us to be made in his image and likeness, to be representatives of him and to be like him and have that relationship. And as I learn more about who he is, as I grow in that, I learn more about who I am. And I think that that's like, we talked about struggle. We talked about a process that happens between me not succumbing and not wanting to do the things that come naturally and doing the things that God would want me to do. And I think as we learn more about who he is and more about who we are, that becomes less and less of a struggle of me going against my natural inclinations. And it becomes more of a joy of me recognizing this is who I was made to be and this is what I was made to do. And it's no longer I'm struggling to do this and being pulled maybe like a leash, pulling a dog by the leash, but I'm now running after God and trying to be like him. And it's a joy and the rejoicing of my heart instead of, you know, oh, what a burden. And that's, I think, what it's hard for people to see that point where it's like, oh, it's such a struggle following after God and trusting in him. It's like, oh, but it's actually a joy. It's actually amazing and life-changing, and I wouldn't want my life to be any other way, you know?
Yeah, like, that's a beautiful point. Like, can we hit on that point? Like we'll get to know ourselves more by knowing God more, like putting him first and not ourselves. And, like, the world teaches it reverse. Like, you know, do what you want. You are yourself. Be who you want to be. Take care of yourself first and then worry about it's like, no, Christ is like, crucify yourself because there's nothing good in it. You know, you were born into iniquity. We don't have to teach people how to be evil.
Yes.
We're born into it.
Uh-huh.
But like, but God, we learn how to put on this and learn the theatric action, how to live this because we learn it through the Holy Spirit. So this is something we have to learn.
Yes.
Because we're not used to it. We're not born righteous, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so we have to receive, I think, first it's walking in the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
First receiving the Spirit in our lives. And you were mentioning, too, like how does it start? And I think the first thing is it's motivation. And what is our motivation? And our motivation should be God's love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we should experience God's love towards us before anything.
Yeah.
Like, how much does God love us? You know, he died for us.
Yeah.
You know, gave his life for us. And once I experience that, then I feel like it, like, takes down that struggle in a way. Like, I'm bad. Like, because what do we want? We want security and we want, you know, we want love and to be love.
Yes, yeah.
Security and what was the other
significance,
word? Significance.
Yeah.
Significance.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, some biblical psychology.
Some biblical psychology, just making sure he's teaching. Such a good class. But, yeah, to be motivated, and that's God's love, it motivates me to want to learn, you know, the Bible, want to grow more and deeper in my walk, and not just, like, live like a normal believer. I feel like many believers will not experience this. And it's an amazing, like, they won't experience, like, theatric action, and that's, like, finished work in my life, where I don't have to do really much. All I have to do is receive.
Yes.
And to know God more, and that's really it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that can kind of make it more difficult for us to thinking about, like you said, motivation. Like, why am I wanting to do the things that God wants me to do, you know, like in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. But, like, What is my, am I doing it because now I feel like I am required to do these things? Like, by grace you have been saved through faith in Ephesians, not of works, lest anything, then anyone should boast. Like, is my motivation that I want to do these things and follow after God and do what he asked me to do because I want to boast in those things, mm-hmm. or because I feel like I need to make sure that I'm keeping up with what he says so that I am earning or I'm keeping my salvation, as mm-hmm. opposed to just living in the faith rest of, I couldn't do it, God did it for me, and I'm able to just rest in the promises and in the peace that mm-hmm. he has given me because I am just doing it in the love. He loves me, and I want to do it because I just care about him and I love him. Right, and at this time of year with the holidays and things like that, sometimes we can feel like an obligation to do things for people, right? I get somebody a Christmas gift because I know they're going to get me a Christmas gift, right? Mm-hmm. And how much do I really enjoy giving somebody a Christmas gift when I just feel like I'm doing it out of obligation, right? I they're my family, they're my friend, whatever. It's Christmas time. Everybody gives each other gifts, so I'm going to give them a gift because it's what I'm supposed to do at this time. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, so in both ends of that, it's like I'm giving a gift because I have to. I feel like I'm required to. And I'm accepting a gift because that they gave to me because they feel like they have to give it to me. And how much joy, how much, like, love is in that? It's more, like, transactional, mm-hmm. right? And you have this, like, how much should I spend on this person, right? How much are they going to spend on me? And I do the mathematics of like, oh, well, they're probably only going to spend like 20, give me a $20 gift card. I'll give them a $20 gift card. And then you're exchanging like what, like if that's what it is,
yeah.
like it's completely removing the whole purpose of yep. it, which is to give out of love. And the same thing with us, with our lives for God, we are giving and laying down our lives because we love him, because he gave his life. 1 John 4, he laid down his life first for us, and in that we lay down our lives, our the action of our lives, the anthropos, the action of our human lives to him because of the gift that he's, the love that he showed us. We're just reciprocating that to him, and it gives us our purpose and gives us our meaning, and takes, like I said, that struggle away, and now I can enjoy that. Like when you give somebody a gift because you care about them and they love and you love them, mm-hmm. you enjoy it and you're not like anticipating what they're going to give you. You don't even care if they give you something back. You just want to bless them and love them. Mm. And in the same way, God has done that for us, and he loves us and he cares about us regardless of us reciprocating that love to him, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
He first loved us regardless of what we did. And we are just reciprocating that to him in our actions, our lives that we live, our representation of that, and not an obligation, not like I'm not obligated to do it, but I want to do it because I enjoy him and I am enjoying and showing appreciation for what he has done for us. And I think it's in some ways people can't get past that.
Yeah.
You know, they think, okay, why do you go to church? Or why don't you go to church? You know, whatever. I go to church because I love God and I enjoy him and I want to be around other people who do the same thing. It's like, are you sure you don't go to church because God told you to and you feel like you have to? Like, well, yeah, because I wouldn't be going to church if that's why, you know, it would be hard to go and to live my life that way. You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
And this phrase, Pastor Stephen's theantric action, autonomy,
mm-hmm.
like it's he says it means no matter if people lie to me, mistreat me, abuse me, speak falsely against me, bully me, make fun of me on purpose or on accident.
Mm-hmm.
I put on accident in there, you know.
Yeah.
No matter what, they martyr me, I'm just as complete as if they love me. Like that's an amazing thought. Like, I don't need to receive anything from you. I'm already complete, you know, because I'm really learning and growing in who I am through God, like you said in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, I have the vertical first, you know. I'm not horizontal first, because if I'm just living horizontal, trying to receive gifts or affirmations from people in the world,
Yeah.
I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yes.
And God will let you do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
God will let you go and like, okay, like, let's see where that gets you. You
sure,
know,
yeah.
The world will pat you on the back in one way, and then they're blowing blow darts in your back on the return.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, yeah. Am I just complete, you know, if someone loved me or if someone hated me because I'm seeing Christ through that person?
Yeah, because I mean, it's like thinking about this theatric action is like we're following in an example, right? Christ was the ultimate example of this. He was God, theos, and man, anthropos, in one, right? So he is theatric action personified. He is the person who most represented this concept and this idea in the way that he lived his life and what he did and how he interacted with people. And just those, you know, 33 years that he was here on earth and his ministry, those 3 years, it's like a perfect example of what you were saying. Like, he was who he was regardless of, and was complete in who he was, regardless of what people said, how people reacted, what they did, and, you know, what they, whatever was going on around him and the, whatever the people were doing, he knew what he was saying, even though, you know, it was going, some of the things that he was doing was going against thousands of years of history of this is what we're supposed to do. This is what God told us to do when we left Egypt. When we were in the wilderness, he said, we can't do this, we can't do that, we have to do this, we have to do that. And Jesus came and he said, I don't have to do that. It's okay for us to eat from, you know, to pick wheat and eat on the Sabbath because Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Like, this is like, he changed the whole thing, and it was because of his completeness and who he was, right? Like you were saying, like, people said things to him, and he was able to respond and able to react and able to live his life knowing that, okay, I'm not supposed to, Jewish men do not speak to Samaritans in general, let alone a Samaritan woman who's had five husbands, right? And he is doing that, and he is speaking to her, and he is like going, bucking every trend that it, naturally speaking or culturally speaking was there, and he was going against that, and he is complete, and he is changing people's lives as a result of that. And we look to him in order to recognize, like, okay, Jesus is the one that we are following. And Psalm 23 is that he leads us in paths of righteousness. Right. And, you know, in the Gospels, it says, you know, he is the way, you know, wide is the way that leads to death and destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to life. And Jesus is the way that we are following. And we're walking in his footsteps, trusting in him and, you know, emulating him in what we are doing, because he is the perfect representation of what this concept, theatric action, is like. God, 100% God, and 100% man. And that's where we are working towards, you know. That's who we were made to be like, you know, have that God being the center of our lives and teaching us and guiding us. And Jesus, you know, but the reality is we'll never be as perfect as Jesus was. But as we're growing, we are becoming more, getting closer and closer to him, and we are becoming more and more like him. And that's what this walk of faith is all about, is following in his footsteps, becoming more like Christ, because that's who we were made to be.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Yeah. Well, you kind of answered the question, but the question I had was, like, can we fully get to that point where, like, God is, like, fully taken over my life? And, like, I'm walking at the ancient action always. I have the mind of Christ always. Like, can we get to that point as humans, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I don't, because we have the old sin nature in our lives, I don't know if we'll ever get to that, you know, we won't get to the point where we're like Christ 100 until we see him face to face, like in John. You know, when we see him, we will be like him, and we will know him as we are known, right? And there's no glass between us, and we just see our reflection, and our reflection is Christ. I don't think we'll ever get to that point where, as human beings, where God is dictating, but we can work, we can try to, and we can experience that fullness and have less of our old sin nature pulling us and grabbing us, and we are just doing and trusting and going after what God is doing. And I think It's a response to the faith that we have in him. And there's a comment from Josh Harris says, theatric action, also faith action. Mm. And I think, yes, it is. Like, we are, our faith in God is what dictates our actions in trusting and following him. The God that I have faith in, if I believe that God is who he says he is, all-powerful, almighty, Savior, you know, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, all these different names that we know and attributes of God, then I am following in that and trusting in him, and the impact of that faith that I have in the God that I have faith in, it's going to dictate the actions that I take in my life in response to that.
Yeah.
That God that I believe in.
Yeah.
Right?
The believer enters into motivation, God's love, like we said before.
Mm-hmm.
Then by demonstration is by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Through inspiration is God's word.
Hmm.
And then application is my faith. Okay. And that's where the manifestation like really takes place. It's my like response to that. And so like our application, like faith action, is us believing and truly believing. Like Pastor Schaller had an amazing message last night about prayer and just like how we need this kind of prayer, this theatric action, faith action prayer, you know, and believing it. And like I wrote it down, Pastor Schaller quoting, he wants us to live this life with passion, with force, with a fight, power in my prayer.
Hmm.
And that's like, those are strong words, you know, but it's true. Am I just like saying a prayer loosely and just like, and that's it? No, it's like you're fully believing in the God who created the heavens and the earth and does, and said he'll give you exceedingly abundantly above. Like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Exceedingly abundantly. What I'm thinking of, he's going to give me even more. So I'm going to fully believe in what I'm thinking of,
yeah,
you know, because he's promised me and I'm going to hold on to those promises.
Yeah.
And like, that's why the word of God is so important in our life, because it reaffirms and redirects, you know, me going far off to my old sin nature, you know, and brings me back in line.
Yes.
You know, and that's where like we won't 100% be perfect. But I think that's the beauty of it. And that's why we were created.
Yeah.
Because God's like, oh, look, Satan, look what I could do with these people who have a free will and have an old sin nature, and look what they can still do by just having faith.
Yeah. And I think like we have faith for like our salvation, right? By grace, you are saved through faith. But we also have faith for the lives that we're living, right? Our faith doesn't just end, like we accept Christ and thank you, Lord, for your saving work on the cross. I believe in you by faith and I am saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. And then I go back to living my life the way it was before. Like if it's true faith, it's like my life is completely different now.
Mm-hmm.
I am trusting in something beyond myself and my life should not be go back to trusting in my own understanding and my own way of thinking and my own upbringing and circumstances and cultural rules and laws, but I am now living my life through faith in my salvation, but living my life in my decisions that I'm making, the places that I'm going, the people that I am around, the things that I say, the thoughts that I think, the TV shows or the content that I consume, whether it's a book or a podcast or whatever it is. Now it's all through this lens or through this new faith that I have in Christ. And the more that I am living that life of faith, the more I am following that path of righteousness and recognizing. But it also, like we said earlier, my knowledge of God is the what is dictating or what is helping me along in that. Because if I don't get to know him more, then how am I supposed to emulate him more? How am I supposed to follow in his footsteps if I don't even know anything about him? I know he does the work on the cross, but there's so much that is an amazing and beyond all we can ask or think just in and of itself. But like you said, there's like exceedingly and above, more than like we can't even imagine or think about all these things. Our brains are too, you know, his thoughts and ways are so much higher than ours are, but we're like kind of scratching the surface. We're getting, you know, inching until we see who he is, getting to know who he is. And I think this is like I said, it's a joy to follow in and to see and to really experience who we were made to be, as far as trusting in Him, of following Him. And maybe if you don't have anything else to say about like the importance of this, maybe we can just talk about a couple examples in the Bible of people who, you know, had this shift from their own natural way of doing things, their own like anthropos way of I'm living my life, and then transitioning to having a life where I'm following and trusting in God, and I am living in theatric action, or these people are living in action. Do you have an example that you wanted to talk about? Well, do you have something else to say before we go there?
I did want to mention, because you were saying a couple times, like, we revert to our experience.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with a person the other day who, I believe they're Catholic, but they profess themselves to be believers.
Mm-hmm.
But one, they kind of go against the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't fully, you know, grab onto it. They believe it was just translation. A lot of it was lost, so they don't mm-hmm. fully give credit or fully have faith in the Bible.
Okay.
And then number two, it's like it's their experience more than God's word. Like,
okay.
I've experienced this, and so mm-hmm. that's why I know, rather than God has told me this, rather than this is how I know.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've seen many believers like this who have this. They live by their experience,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, these are the people I meet on the street who are, I tell them, like, Jesus loves you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I know, I'm good, I'm a believer.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And that, you know what I'm uh-huh. saying? Like, is there, like, they're... should be joy and excitement, and there should be a fellowship that mm-hmm. we have complete strangers,
yeah.
and I'm telling you that Jesus loves you, and I'm like here to mm-hmm. you know, talk about it. Like,
yeah.
sometimes you get a conversation like, oh yeah, I love Jesus too, and that's amazing,
mm-hmm.
but like for the people who they're just so the world really takes over,
yeah,
and they don't experience mm-hmm. The manifestation of Christ in their life,
yeah,
and they'll never get victory. You know, they never fully experience it. And so, mm-hmm. like, how would you say, like, how for a person who is living in that, who is so wrapped up in their experience, maybe our examples will mm-hmm. kind of teach us that, but
maybe.
How would you say, like, someone who is living in that can overcome that? And
So I think, like, this, yeah, so my circumstances, my experience, like, how much weight, how much value should that have in my life, as far as, you know, I'm a believer, or it could be a hurdle for people to even accept Christ, that like, why, how is there a God who loves me and cares about me when I've gone through this, and this, right?
Yeah.
Or even believers, like, I accepted Christ and I'm supposed to experience the fullness of who He is, and then all these crazy things happen in my life. I get cancer, or somebody in my family dies, or like I go through this incredible trial. And I think that autonomy that you were talking about before is something that's important for us, important for us to understand in these type of things. Like, my circumstances and what I'm going through doesn't change who God is.
Amen.
It doesn't change, like, the realities of who He is and what the Bible says. But it doesn't... It is something. My circumstances are, and how I view them, and what value I place them can impact the way that I view who God is, right? If I am living my life and I don't understand or am ignorant of who God is, right? Maybe I'm saved. Maybe I have made a choice to follow and trust in God, but I haven't experienced the fullness of that, or I'm still kind of working through and I'm kind of getting off track because of my circumstances in my life. I think being around people, other people who have that same frame of reference or viewpoint in my life helps me to recognize other people who are drawing closer to who God is, drawing closer to to Christ, helps me to recognize in these circumstances, I am not alone.
Mm-hmm.
God is real, and other people can help me. Like, that's the body of Christ. We are made to encourage each other and to love one another and to draw together closer to who God is. And if I'm drawing closer to God and other people are drawing closer to God, then we are drawing closer together in that process. And it's amazing that, like, the connection that you can experience with other believers when you recognize who Christ, maybe I need to reevaluate who Christ is in my life, right? Yeah, I know he died on the cross for my sins. Yeah, I know he healed many people. Mm. Yeah, I know he's amazing and all these things, but do I really believe those things? Like, going back to, like, the basis of this, like, Christ and Christ crucified. Like, that work that he did, the eternal work that he did, and the eternal impact that that has, which eternal, outside of time, outside of space, like, my circumstances of what I'm going through isn't impacting that. Like, that's where God is, and that's really where, eternally, that's where we sit and we are, because he's outside of it, and we are seated with him, and we are at the right hand of the Father because of what he has done. And our circumstances, yes, we experience them, but they are not impacting my eternal destiny. Mm. Right? So going back to the basics of, this is who Christ is, this is what he did, and this is the impact that has on me. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. Or I'm going through this trial. I mean, you look at the book of Job, like, Job is like a perfect, I'm suffering through this, and I don't know why. And then God says, shut your mouth, Job. I'm going to speak now. Right? Yeah. Sometimes we just need to shut our mouths and just listen to what God has said. And other people can help us do that. We just get go and get encouragement. And if I don't have people like that in my life that I can go to that will give me the truths of what the Bible says or just love me with the love of God, then I need to maybe think about the people that I'm spending my time with, because sometimes we are just used to the same things, and we don't want to change up those things because it's scary or whatever reason, but we don't know if it's going to work. But I need to be encouraged by other people and get out of my own head, think about the thoughts that I'm thinking. I was reading this book about that, where I if I think the same things over and over again, you know, it becomes like a soundtrack for my life. You know, like, I'm just replaying, like, you're the worst, you're the worst, you're the worst, you're the worst. And I'm like, God's not, you know, you're sick, God doesn't care about you, God doesn't love you. And that's like Satan is using that to kind of derail. Yeah, you're a Christian, but I'm going to keep you out because you're stuck in the circumstance that you're in. But shifting that to God loves me, God loves me, he cares about me, I'm seated in heavenly places. This is a, you know, and the reality is maybe sometimes those things are the rest of your life. Paul had a thorn in his flesh that God didn't take away. Mm-hmm. But he also had God. He had the thorn in his flesh, but he also knew who God was in his life. So he could press on, reach that prize of the high calling of God in his life. So I think going back to the basics, and then also thinking about the people I have in my life to encourage me and lead me and help me along this path. We're all walking in this path. And yes, wide is the way, and many there be who find it that leads to destruction. But the body, the people that are walking along that narrow path, following Christ, there are others that are walking in that path, and we're walking it together, encouraging one another in that. So, yeah.
That's amazing. That made me thought of Ecclesiastes 7:8. It says, the end of the thing is better than the beginning.
Mm.
The end of the thing. And so why is, like, the end of the thing better?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, maybe the beginning, it could be like a struggle. It could be like a thorn in the flesh. It does hurt after a while.
Yeah.
But, like, as I experience and, like, you know, lean on God, you know, God opens up something, or it just becomes way better than that initial beginning. Because for me to do hard things, you know, sometimes it's very hard or painful to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, my flesh doesn't want to do the hard thing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, go by faith or, you know, proclaim the gospel. My flesh does not want to do that. But in the end of the thing, you know, there's so much joy or gratification that I receive from that.
Yeah.
And I think what we're talking about here is really a mental mindset. Mm-hmm. And it was another message I was listening to, cognitive invincibility. I love this. Meaning, well, cognition is the way I perceive, recognize, conceive, and reason.
Okay.
Right? My daily thoughts and thinking in the world. Then invincibility is something or someone that cannot be harmed. Mm-hmm. Or is too powerful to be destroyed. So I have a cognitive invincibility.
Huh.
He said, greater is the doctrine in the Holy Spirit that is in us than in the world, 1 John 4:4. And so it is really a mindset, you know, is it, am I living by experience or am I living by what God tells me who I am, you know?
And then cognitive invincibility, that's so good.
Yeah. And so I have an example in 2 Samuel 16, King David. This is when Absalom, his own son, came and took his kingdom, and David is on the run here. And while he's on the run, in verse 5, in 2 Samuel 16, verse 5, we meet this man, Shimei. And Shimei, in the end of that verse, he says he came out cursing continuously as he came. And in verse 6, he threw stones at David and all the servants of David too as well, and all the mighty men of who are on his right hand and on his left hand. In verse 7, also Shimei said thus when he cursed him, come out, you bloody thirsty man. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered a kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. And so he's saying here that, like, he's cursing David.
Yeah.
And he's saying, God has brought this upon you for what you have done, you know, the sin that you have done in your life. So bringing up past, and this is what the enemy wants us to do, to bring up past and stir us up and say we're not worthy, or this is why something bad has happened to you because of what you have done. And that is not right, right? And so he's cursing him, and he's throwing stones at him. And then he's saying, like, you took the kingdom from Saul, when that was a lie too as well.
Yeah.
And the enemy wants to speak lies to us too as well. When Saul really did it upon himself, right?
Yeah.
You know, King David loved him, and he saw none of that. And then calls him bloodthirsty. And then verse 9, one of the servants of David said, you know, let's kill this man. Let's take him away. We could easily just get rid of him. Yeah, this dog. Like, get rid of this. Like, deal with it. And I feel like this is like a reaction from the flesh.
Yes, yeah.
Like, something's coming against me. Now I have to do something and react in return. But this is when, verse 10, and this is a theatric action. David's living in this. But the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? So he says, let him alone. And then verse, and the end of part B in verse 10, let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has ordered him. He repeats it again. He's saying, like, I see God in his life, pretty much.
Yeah.
A man who's cursing me and trying to kill me, throws stones at me and the people around me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to react in the flesh. But I'm gonna live highly. I'm gonna think, you know, like, God's gonna get me through it. God will deal with that, you know. And that's like an amazing way how to experience the action. And really, and you said it before, it's a cross life. It's a crucifying Adam, and then resurrecting Christ in my life.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's like the natural reaction to that. This person is against me. This person is saying things to me. This person is trying to bring me down. And, you know, naturally speaking, we're reacting. We are trying to, okay, shut this guy up, take him out. You know, he's saying these things and they're not true. And, you know, but this is a person also, right? And it's like you said, I'm going, my natural inclination, the things that I want to do, the things that I am, you know, have been wired in me in the as a human being. This is how I'm supposed to respond to this guy.
Yeah.
But can I not do that, and I can actually leave him alone in order that, like, what is the purpose behind that, you know? David's leaving him alone and showing him that you're not these things you are saying aren't impacting me because of the God that I serve and because of the God that I love. And what impact that could have had on Shimei, seeing, like, wait, I did these things against, I don't recall anywhere where it talks about him later on, but, like, when David is now, you know, after this whole thing is happening, like, Shimei sees him and he recognizes, and it's similar with the story of Joseph, you know. We'll talk about that later on in the week, of, like, the forgiveness that Joseph experienced, like, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And then, you know, with Jesus, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Like my reaction in my life, there's all these things, circumstances, all these things that are coming against me, but I can, instead of naturally reacting, I can lay those desires, lay those cravings, lay those things that I am predisposed to do as a human being down at the foot of Christ, and I can just honor and love those people in the circumstances that I'm going through. And not saying it's easy by any stretch of the imagination, but this is getting us closer to what God is doing. Like, it wasn't easy for Jesus to do what he did by any means. And we're never on that, going to be on that level. What we are experiencing, we get closer and closer to him as we are crucifying the things that we want, crucifying the things that come naturally, and living, resurrecting these things in us, the spirit that lives in us, because our flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing within us. And am I living and making these decisions in the spirit? Now, like, not like being paralyzed by, okay, the spirit needs to speak right now. What am I going to have for breakfast? Or what, you know, all these different things. Mm-hmm. Like, but I am, the viewpoint, the overall mindset, like you said, of my life is I'm doing, living my life to glorify and honor God. And theatric action is the example, is a, you know, the representation or the concept that defines that. I was thinking of Moses in regards to as an example for theatric action as well, because he tried to do things he tried to help the Israelites, you know, before he went into the wilderness. You know, he's leader, he's raised in the palace or with the Egyptian pharaohs and those in Egypt, and then he sees he's got this identity crisis where he's Egyptian, he's of Israeli descent, but he was raised as an Egyptian, so he's got one foot in both camps, you know, and he sees his Hebrew brother being beaten or whatever. He thinks he's doing the right thing. I need to help my brother, mm-hmm. and I'm going to, you know, and he ends up killing the Egyptian, hiding him in the sand. His natural reaction, he thought that was the best thing to do, and it wasn't. And then God meets him in the wilderness, you know, through the burning bush. I am that I am, right? I am showing you what you are to do. I want you to do this thing for me. And he's like having issues. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that he recognized that he had to put down or lay to rest those things, those natural inclinations that he had, being the things that he wanted to do so that he could fulfill what God had for him. It says, verse 24 of Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, mm-hmm. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And thinking about what you said, the end of the thing is better than the beginning, right? Like, what is the point of this, right? It's not immediate gratification in what I'm doing. Yes, I'm saved. I'm living my life, but there may be a struggle that happens between now and then. Mm-hmm. But the growth that I experience, the joy that I experience that I will see one day, and the love that I have with other people, and the love that I express, and the love that I feel for other people through my relationship with God, is something that I'm experiencing now. And as I am working through, like it says, suffering the affliction, then later on it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And we know about that. The invisible things are eternal. The visible things are temporal. We're working towards something that's eternal, working towards something that is beyond all we can ask or think, working towards this life that Christ has laid down for us, and we are just following in his footsteps, leading to when we see him face to face and we see the fullness of this purpose that we have and this life that we have in who we are as human beings, being the image and likeness of God on earth.
Amen, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, the enemy cannot do anything to my Zoe life, right, my eternity, you know, where if I'm a believer and receive Christ, he can't touch that.
Mm.
But he can really attack the believer's bios life, his natural life, yes. And make him it's life here just like unfruitful.
Yeah.
And for God to not allow him to use that person, and that's what the enemy would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't say, you know, you're going to heaven, but I could affect you where you don't now go out and live in this theatric action life that God wants us to do. And so we live just a man-centered life, and we forget the Theo in the beginning.
Yeah, we forget
the in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing, and it's just the, we're becoming less. Our natural is becoming less, the bios, and we're just going more towards Christ, you know, becoming more of him and less of us,
and,
right?
And really, it's just the beginning, what we said, struggle and process. Like it's a struggle, you know, and then it takes a lot of process. The struggle is just, it's something I haven't done before. It's not, maybe my habits are way off. Like I've never, you know, walked this kind of life, you know, walk in the newness, you know, this is brand new to us. And it's like us going by faith and we're just like, wow, like this is all God. Because it wasn't me because I don't know where I'm going.
Exactly. That's amazing. All right. Well, thank you everybody for hanging out with us, talking about theatric action. Thanks, Jesse, for a great conversation and, looking forward to a great week. So, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us the rest of this week as we talk about theatric action and some more examples. Have a great day. God bless.
Great job.